KQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this cloudy but beautiful Sunday morning. We're happy to have everybody here in the sanctuary, everybody listening on the radio, and the whole world watching us on YouTube. We're happy to have all of you along in whatever means you can come. Our liturgists today are Herm and Deb Schutte. Radio sponsors, there's two of them this morning, Emily Fuchs, in memory of her parents, Frank and Anna Matuszek, and from the Homar family, in memory of Helen Van Oosbury. A couple of other announcements. The Sunday School is still collecting money for Mabel's building mission. They're not done building the house you're going to build for them yet, so if you want to keep contributing money for that, you can. Next Sunday, will be our graduation Sunday. We want to honor all of our graduating youth. And there is a well-wishers card on the table out in the entryway for the family of Nettie Gander. Nettie, is she in the hospital, Debbie, or in a care center now? But not doing real well, but we want to remember her and remember her family. So sign your name on the card on the way out this morning, and we'll get that sent off this week. Are there any other announcements out there that I was not aware of? I'm going to read for you somebody else's welcome statement this week. I'm going to start for a little while here finding what other UCC churches are doing to express their welcome to the whole world. I want to try to situate us as First Church among our sister churches that are also committing themselves to being generously and genuinely open congregations. So this is what they say at Redeemer UCC in Menominee Falls. In honoring Jesus' teaching to love one another, we have committed ourselves to the ongoing work of being an open and affirming congregation, one that lives out the belief that God is still speaking. We open our doors and hearts and warmly invite you to join us on this transformative journey of inclusion, compassion, and justice as we seek to build a more loving and equitable world for all. So now, settle in to your seat, take a deep breath. Know that that breath you just inhaled is a gift from God, and God is with you. Thank you. Debbie will lead us in our call to worship. If you're able, would you please stand as we read?
Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin or on the screen. We are the body of Christ.
Not by our choice, but by God's call. Not because we are worthy, but because we are loved.
We are in the company of those who follow the way of Jesus.
Created by the hand of God, redeemed by the grace of Christ, given breath by the divine Spirit.
We have come to worship.
Which is first and last and always to be grateful for the unbounded love of God, for the presence of our neighbors, for the possibility of our transformation.
Enter with joy into this time of song and prayer and fellowship.
Our first hymn this morning is number 393 in the New Century Hymn, No Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Would you join me, please, in our morning prayer? Holy One, today we pray for peace in a world that knows too much of war. Shape us to do our part as a peaceful people. We pray for harmony in this congregation. Give us, this body of Christ, a spirit of reconciliation, a heart for generosity, and a willingness to listen to each other without judgment. And we pray for the creation in all its beauty and fragility. Give us the urge to care that can only be born of love, the will to preserve what remains, and the courage to act for the benefit of the children who will live in the world we leave them. We ask so much because we trust your care, and we trust your care because we feel your grace. And for all of this, we are grateful. Amen. Anyone, and that is everyone, who is in Christ has become a new creation altogether. The old is finished and gone. Everything has been made new. This, my friends, is the gospel. This is the good news that makes us whole and brings us all to say out loud, thanks be to God. seated, please. Our invitation to the offering this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, his second letter. This is chapter 8, verses 7 and 9. Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in your love, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. We will receive the morning offering at this time. Would you join me, please, in our gratitude prayer? God of grace, make us each day more grateful for your generosity, more generous with your gifts, and more giving to those in need. Make us a reflection of your love in this world. Amen. Seated, please. Our invitation to the communion table this morning is a hymn that is number 321 in the hymnal, Break Now the Bread of Life.
Thank you.
As we often say, this is not the table of this church or of any church. This is the table of our Lord, and it is made ready for all of you. Whoever you are welcome to come. Wherever you come from, you are welcome to come to this table. Whatever brought you here, whatever your failures, your successes, however you identify, whatever parts of yourself you bring today, you are entirely welcome to the bread and the juice we have to serve at this table. And the really beautiful thing about this is that I'm not doing the inviting to this table. It is Jesus himself who invites you. Come to me, he said, all of you who labor under heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am meek and gentle of spirit, and here at this table you will find rest for your soul. Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, we praise and bless you for the creation, for the gift of life, for your abiding love, for you are the source of all that is good. We thank you for calling us to walk together in the way of Jesus, for breathing life into us, and we thank you for this bread of life and cup of salvation, offering to us the very presence of Christ. Bless us now in our eating and drinking, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the living Christ at this table, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. We come to this table every week, remembering, as we do, that night when Jesus sat at table with his friends just before they betrayed him, before his enemies arrested him, how that night at that table he took a loaf of bread, and he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. He said, take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. When you eat, remember me. After supper, he took a cup, and he gave thanks for the cup, and gave that to his friends, saying, take, drink. This cup is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of all sin. When you drink, Jesus said, remember me. So we gather here every week. We eat and we drink together in the company of each other and the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming by this what is the core of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, the people of God. Come to the table. Everything is now ready. Thank you. Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, we have come at your gracious invitation and received again the nourishment we so desperately need from this bread that is life and this cup that brings salvation, and for your presence with us through all of that. Bless us this day. Bless us into the coming week. Bless us as your people always. Amen. Kids. We have kids? Hey, Henry. Hi. Okay. Did you see what your dad just did? Mm-hmm. Did you respond? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Ready? Give him this. Ready? Mm-hmm. Come on, get your hand. Come on, do it. Ready? Everybody at the same time, do it. You're a bunch of weird people, aren't you? Okay, I don't have a story this morning, because I figured somebody out there does, and I like doing this. So somebody out there has something in their pocket or purse that might be useful to create an interesting story. Okay.
Everybody carries
a clipboard around, yes, especially a blank one. Good luck. Watch. You just watch. Everybody has a life to live, right? You old people have a little bit of life left to live. You young people have a whole lot of life left to live. Everybody's life starts out as a blank slate. Not bad, eh? It starts out as a blank slate, and we get to write on here what our life is going to be. Am I going to grow up and be handsome? No. Am I going to grow up to be rich? No. Am I going to grow up to be kind? Well, I can. Am I going to grow up to be... What do you want to be when you grow up, Henry?
I don't know.
You don't know. What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you know yet? President.
No.
No. I wouldn't want to be president either. No. Well, anyway, we have this life that we get to live, and it starts out blank, and we fill it in, and we get some help along the way. Who do you think are the people who help you fill in the blanks on our life slate? Who helps you fill in the blanks on the life slate? I'm looking at you, Henry. What kind of people in the world will help you to fill in the blanks? I'll do it this way. Somebody out there, who has helped you fill in the blank slates of your life? Peter. Huh?
Teachers.
Teachers did, yes. Parents can help. Grandparents can help, yeah. Friends can help. Peter?
Pastors
can help. There are lots and lots of people who are there to help you fill in the blanks so you can become the people that God wants you to be. Because back behind the slate you have here, God is always working back there to help you figure out what God wants you to be, and what you want to be, and what is going to benefit all of these people here when you grow up, because they're going to depend on you. They're going to need you to be the kind of people that you get to be. So keep this. I'm going to keep this. Just keep in mind, the world is full of possibilities. Your slate is not full yet. Certainly not for you kids, not even for the old people. The slate is not done yet. There are still things that we can write on this. There are still possibilities for us, things that we can do. Don't ever forget that there's no end to what you can do, and God is always going to be with you to help, to guide, to bless, to do what you need. Okay? So let's pray. God, we are grateful that we have lives that are a gift from you, that these lives can be full of love and kindness and grace and all the good things that come from your hand. Bless these kids. Bless all of these, your people, on this day, we pray. Amen. Would you take that back to Tammy on your way up?
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love.
Before I read the gospel text for this morning, I want to go back and repeat part of what Herm just read, because I think this is such profoundly beautiful language. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I am known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The gospel reading for this morning, coming from the lectionary this week, is from Mark's gospel. It's chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. To set this up, Jesus is on his way through Galilee to Jerusalem, and he has been teaching his disciples about what is going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. Then they went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is a reading of our scripture lessons for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are always true. We can always trust them. Please pray with me. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just a little heads up before I begin here. I am, once again, having some issues with my breathing. My lungs don't seem to want to work at full capacity very much. So sometimes, out of nowhere, I am entirely, suddenly out of breath. If that happens and I stop talking, I'm okay. I just need a few seconds to find some new air to breathe. So just that may happen or it may not, but if it does, don't worry. The sermon today comes with a question that is embedded in the title that you have in your bulletin this morning. The question is, what is to become of us? Now, there are two ways to answer this question, and the answer you give will depend to a large extent on your own perspective on life, your faith, your ideas of the state of the world. We can answer this question, what is to become of us, from either a place of despair or from a place of hope. Now, given the world as we experience it every day, both of these responses are reasonable. I could make a pretty good argument for both despair and hope. And to be honest, I have bounced back and forth between these two a lot over the years. When you see the world through despairing eyes, it looks something like this. My goodness, what is this world coming to? We are destroying so much of it at such a furious pace. If we continue, as we most likely will, large areas of this planet will be uninhabitable just a few decades from now. Our oceans are rising and dying. Oceanside cities are sinking or drowning. 90% of the large fish in the ocean are already gone. On land, we continue to plow up or build over the natural landscape, and now thousands of species of birds, insects, amphibians, and mammals have gone or are in danger of going extinct. And extinction, you know, is forever. The human world isn't doing much better. We are hopelessly and hatefully divided by money and race and religion and party. Political opinions, rather than our faith, now define who we are. And the division this causes has seeped so deep into our families and friendships and churches that it seems to be insurmountable. Violence has become necessary, some people say, to get us back on the right track. What is to become of us? That is the voice of despair. And what really hurts when I give voice to that perspective is that most, not everything, but most of what I just said is in fact true. We are in a worldwide world of hurt. And if we don't find a way through, the future will be dark indeed. There is no delight in despair. If, on the other hand, you are both a follower of Jesus and a person who has chosen to be hopeful, you might resonate with the creed with the creed that comes from the United Church of Canada. This is what hope looks like to them. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God. I'm sorry. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in the creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. This is the voice of hope. Look through hopeful eyes, and you will see the whole universe made alive by the ever-creating, ever-repairing, always-loving divine presence. Open those eyes, and you will see this creating God who came to be with us in Jesus, the Word made flesh, making everything new, making us alive in the Spirit. Listen in hope, and you will hear that voice calling us to be the church, to celebrate, to live, to love, to serve, to seek justice, to resist evil. Wide open eyes will look out on our messed up world and with a note of awe and excitement ask today's question differently. Indeed, in this renewed world, what is to become of us? God is with us, hope says. We are never alone. So what will this mean for how we live? How do people of hope live faithfully in a despairing world? How do we hold ourselves together when everything else is coming apart? For this question, Jesus has an answer, sort of, which he gives to us by changing the question. For Jesus, the best question is not what will become of us. The better question is, who will we become? As they walked along the road that day, the disciples began arguing among themselves about which one of them was the greatest. For them, greatness meant power and influence. The great man was the one who could command people and get things done, move things along. They were disciples of the Messiah, you know, a very important job, they thought. And they probably assumed that Jesus needed a powerful second in command to help guide the effort, someone who could make discipleship great again, or maybe even make the Messiah great again. To do that, Jesus would need a great man at his side, a great man who knew how to handle power. Well, I suspect Jesus had quite a chuckle over that little bit of dimwittery on their part. The disciples were failing miserably to understand what he was about and who he hoped they would become. Greatness, he said. Really? You want to be great? Let me show you what being the great one looks like in my world. He calls the 12 into a circle, and he gives them a riddle of sorts, something to this effect. In the kingdom of God, to gain power is to lose greatness. You want to be in first place? Go to the back of the line. You want to lead? Learn to serve. Become the people who offer an open, armed, generous welcome to everybody, but especially to those who have so often been pushed aside or forgotten. And then he calls this little child into the circle, and he takes her up in his arms and he holds her. This is what I mean, he says. This is what I want from you. Put yourselves aside and welcome the little ones, the forgotten ones, the pushed aside ones. Welcome them. Because when you welcome them, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me. Pay attention to what Jesus is saying in this story, because this is very important. The path to God, the way into friendship with your Creator, lies directly through the person sitting next to you this morning, or maybe the person sitting a few pews away, you know, the one you would really rather not talk to if you don't have to. Or the path of God may take you to the neighbor kids next door or down the block, especially those who so often find little welcome on their own. You know, the queer kids, the poor kids, the black and brown kids. If you want to be great, Jesus is saying, become a great source of welcome, of generous, genuine, inclusive acceptance of people who are already in your life and those who are yet to come into your life. Be kind, even when it's hard. Be patient, even when you don't feel like it. Be generous with the people who don't deserve it. This is what it means to be great in the way that Jesus was great. Open eyes, open hearts, open arms. That is what real greatness looks like. Become the place where everyone is welcome means exactly that. A place where everyone feels included without questions, without limits, without lines being drawn. Be the place, be the congregation where people don't just hear about welcome. Be the congregation where they can't help but feel and see that welcome. Let your kindness, your gentleness, graciousness, and generosity be known to all, St. Paul said, remembering at the same time these words of Jesus, that what we do for the lowest member of his family, we do for him. We are called to be the church, the Creed says. Called to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation. Called to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. Called to proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. We are called to live together as people who carry this hope, who see the world through this hope. We can only answer this call through the grace, love, and power of our Creator. But answering that call, is what will prepare this congregation to survive and to thrive in the very uncertain future that lies ahead for all congregations. Be a congregation of unbounded welcome, of generous and genuine kindness, and you will be the people alive in hope. The people who trust beyond doubt that in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are never alone. Amen. Do I have a microphone, buddy? This is our time to pray together, to bring our own concerns.
I saw God's work yesterday with Marcy and Tammy. They were replacing some shrubs in front of the church, and they continue to keep our gardens and lawn beautified at church.
And some of those will show up on Facebook real soon, I understand, right? Christy started taking pictures of the flowers this morning, so check your Facebook page. Who are we praying for, or what are we praying for?
And we should keep Nettie in our prayers. She wasn't eating, and the family decided not to administer a feeding tube, so they're continuing to keep her comfortable.
She's just on kind of a hospice watch for now, then?
Yes. Yeah.
Must have been a very quiet week in Lake Wobegon, huh? Kathy?
I'd like to keep the Robin Purcell family in our prayers. Robin's funeral will be May 6th. He was involved in that terrible accident a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Where is that funeral going to be, do you know?
It'll be at the Dorff House.
The Dorff House?
Yeah,
okay.
It'll be at the Dorff House.
And we will have the funeral here on Saturday for the father and daughter who were lost in that accident. Rose.
Let's keep the people that have been devastated by the climate throughout the past couple weeks, especially I think it was yesterday where all the tornadoes hit. Let us pray for those that are searching for strength.
I think I saw in a news report this morning there were 78 reported tornadoes yesterday over a several state area, but that's a lot of wind blowing around.
We'll keep Pastor Brad in our prayers, too, for good health.
Yeah, pray for air. You notice when you haven't got it just how important it is to be able to breathe. So let's hold all of these concerns together in prayer and then conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. So please pray with me. Gracious God, there are corners of our world and our lives, sometimes large corners in the world, that are dark, where people are hurting and suffering. We pray for your presence with those who have lost so much in the weather that has passed through, for those who have lost family and friends and accidents, for those who are waiting for the loss of someone that they love. God, by your Spirit, be ever present to give comfort that can only come from you, and assurance of your presence, and an assurance that all of life, under all circumstances, is always in your hands, and that all of us are safe in your care and keeping. We pray for your blessing on your world, for those places that are torn by war and by famine and disease and by want. God, all of these problems are within our reach to solve if we only had the wisdom and the courage and the strength to act. And for those gifts, we pray this morning so that this world can be made new as you want it to be made. Make of us people of hope who move into this uncertain, dangerous world in the confidence that we are your people, that you are our God, and the world is yours, and the blessings that have come from your hand will continue to make it new. And now hear us, loving God, as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Our closing hymn this morning is number 395 in the New Century Hymnal, "In Christ There Is No East or West." If you're able, would you please stand as we sing? Today you are held safe in the arms of God. Hold each other close in the affection of your hearts, and go in that peace to serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo.